Like the child of Shiloh, we listen for and hear your voice. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is found in 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was kept. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and laid back down. Again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time the Lord called Samuel, Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went down and laid back down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as he did the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our New Testament reading today is rather short. It's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we'll begin at verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples... When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. From the time you are born, really, you are expected to meet certain milestones in your life. Did you smile on time? Did you feed yourself by the age expected? You remember some of these if you've had children? Did you walk on time? A physician may even look at if you're able to play peekaboo or a similar game on time. You're still measured in this way when you enter school, which Jason well knows at this point. Are you able to stay in line? Do you raise your hand before you speak? Some of you don't, I noticed. You skipped that part. Did you read on time? Did you learn your dreaded multiplication tables, and did you do so on time? All of these measures then become grades as you go through school, and even in something like a sport, which you might enjoy for fun, you are ranked and rated in some way. Sometimes even striving to beat your own records, your personal best, your personal record. Now, sometimes this causes us to worry. I know a young lady like that. who wants to be the best at most of the things that she does, we worry that we will not do these things in that right timing and that we won't perform well enough. Your adult life, of course, can be much like this too. Or you might be fortunate and you might have a work that does not rank and sort of rate you in that way, but unfortunately many do. So we end up feeling like we are trying to measure up in many areas of our lives. This isn't unique to our day and time. Just before our New Testament passage today in chapter 9, the disciples were arguing about who was greatest among them, and they were doing this within earshot of Jesus. Jesus kind of says, what are you all arguing about? He sits down the disciples, and that's when he says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. I bet that was pretty confusing. It seems Jesus flips our understanding of what success is time and time again. Then he takes a little child from among the crowd and he hugs him or her and says, whoever welcomes a little child like this welcomes me. We read also the kingdom of God belongs to children, and that he blessed the children that day where the disciples were trying to kind of shoo them away and get them to quiet down. He warned them, receive his gifts, receive him like a little child would in his kingdom. That sounds like grace to me, as Lexi and I were discussing. It's as if Jesus is saying, receive me without the ambition. Receive me without all the competition and the measuring up. You do not need to meet any milestone with me. How great must God's love be for us through Jesus Christ when we look at even the birds outside and know they do not perform? I spend time watching them outside. Our backyard is alive with all kinds of things. And Jesus says they do not sow or reap or gather, but God continues to feed them. And he says, we are of much more value than they are. Now, just as we encourage adults here at HPC to grow through Bible study or a different group of some sort, that's kind of our journey with Christ. We're always growing. We're always learning something new. You're never too young to be without a purpose. And I love and have a special place in my heart for this story of young Samuel. Our understanding of Samuel begins as he's just a young child, but only paragraphs later, he is a prophet. He's a prophetic voice. Before Samuel was even born, his dad's name was Elkanah, and his mother was Hannah. They used to go to the temple at Shiloh to worship and to offer sacrifices, and did that with their family. Elkanah's other wife, her name was Peninnah. She had children and Hannah did not, so she used to tease and bully Hannah, and Hannah was down. Hannah was having a hard time. Samuel's story begins as his mother Hannah prays for him there. She sits in the temple not too far from the priest Eli, and she's very upset. She's begging God for his mercy, and she just wants to have kids. Peninnah is a thorn in her side, but she just wants to have her own family, to the point that she's kind of crying. She's very upset. She so desires a child. Eli observes her there, and he blesses her. When she goes home, she does conceive, and that's baby Samuel, whom she says she lent to the Lord as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. And she leaves him there at Shiloh to learn from the Lord. Now, what we know as readers, Hannah does not know, and that's that God has really big plans for Samuel, because at the same time, Eli the priest has these sons who are a mess. They're wicked, the Bible says. They're up to no good. Their women come to the temple, and they're not appropriate with them, and they're fooling with the offerings that people bring. And so the Lord is upset with them. As Samuel grows up, God continues to work in him. He learns, he assists Eli there, while Eli's own sons act in ways that are contrary to everything that God would desire. And so in chapter 2, it's revealed to the old man Eli that his sons will not be succeeding him and that God is very displeased. Now that's where the scripture picks up today. And I really, really kind of sped through that. It's a great story. But it picks up where Samuel there is sleeping in the temple. And we heard that story, Samuel, the Lord says, and he's young, and the scripture points out his hearing is sharp, his eyesight is sharp, and it's contrasting this with Eli, who's grown quite old, can't hear as well, sits normally while he's there serving, and his eyesight is also not as sharp. Samuel says, "Here I am," and he runs to Eli as he responds. Eli, of course, says, "I didn't call you." Samuel goes back to bed. A second time, the Lord called Samuel. "Samuel!" Again, he goes to Eli, who says he did not call him. And Samuel goes back to bed. It happens a third time. The Lord calls him. He goes again to Eli. Now, Eli is a holy man, and while he hasn't received a vision, and things have been kind of quiet lately, it says, with the exception of what the sons are up to, right? Eli knows it's the Lord who is calling this young man. And so Eli gives Samuel his response. So when he's called a fourth time, it says the Lord was present there with him. And Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," not even understanding what all that's going to mean. Samuel hasn't tried to earn God's attention. He hasn't tried to meet a milestone or compete with Eli's sons. God calls him first, and Samuel responds. Now, our text ended there as the Lord tells Samuel he's going to do something in Israel that everybody's going to hear about. It'll make the ears of everyone's ears tingle. And what God tells him confirms what Eli already knows, that because of his sons and because he did not stop his sons in all their hurtful behaviors, they will not be succeeding him. They will be judged, and no offering or sacrifice will bring them forgiveness. That's a big deal. Something has happened here, and God has used a young man to deliver this news and to usher in this new season, which will be for all of Israel, not just for these few people. This is a new beginning. Walter Brueggemann commented on this text many, many years ago. He said, "There's a season of naivete when a young boy can receive a vision, an old man can experience relinquishment, a surprised mother can sing a song," that's Hannah's song in chapter 2, "the ears of the conventional can tingle, and life begins again." God isn't only concerned about young Samuel or Eli or Hannah or Eli's sons or Shiloh. God is committed to complete transformation, not just transformation in small strokes. And God will work through Samuel to bring about that transformation. And again, it's not anything he had to be graded upon or earn. He wasn't hitting milestones and PRs to secure this place for God. He simply listened and heard, and then he followed. Now, that can be difficult. We talked last week about this, the necessity to leave some things behind in order to move forward. In our own lives and in the life of the church, I encouraged you to let go of control, to let go of the outcomes, and to let go of our emotional reactions, our response. Eli is such a great example of this. We've heard of his weak eyesight and his frustration and his lack of resolve with his sons to get them in order. But when Samuel confirms the bad news that Eli's family line will not continue, Eli says to Samuel with acceptance, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." While Samuel is young and Eli is old, he has been part of this transformation that God intends. He's mentored Samuel, he's parented him, he's guided him in the ways of the Lord, and he's been a pastor to him. He's been a vital part in this transformation, which is going to touch all of Israel. So as I said, young or old, as young as Sophie in the nursery, and as old as I don't know who the oldest is here, God has purpose for each one of us. Just as God was present with Eli through his long life, God's going to do the same thing with Samuel, carrying out his purposes, beginning with that prophecy about the sons, and later, Samuel, as I said earlier, anoints the very first king of Israel. Wow, and then also anoints King David. So we are partners in our growth with God. There is no milestone to meet with Jesus, and there's no grade in a grade book to receive. God is already present and already working for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, sometimes, and I reflected on kind of my youth and sort of young adulthood here. Sometimes as Christians, we believe God has a plan for our lives, and it's our job to make sure we get it just right. I attended a Christian college for my first year of college, and my second school was Catholic for the next 3 years. And I was a Christian. I wanted to make sure I was following what was God calling me to. And we feel like we have to hit that exactly, and we have to have that all figured out. We fear making mistakes. What if I choose the wrong college? Jason, what if you take the wrong job? Right? What if I take the wrong path? And this is how some of us as believers think about God's will for us. Whether you're young or old or medium, these brothers and sisters in Christ who sit next to you today are living evidence that you will be okay and that God will be working through each step of that journey with him to transform you, no matter what choices we make into the future. God will be with you and guide you and use those experiences. So today, know God's love for you, each of you. Know it is free, and you do not need to earn it. We spend so much time wondering if we measure up. And as believers, I pray we can live in grace. We extend that grace to one another and know that he's not asking if we've achieved enough. Instead, he's asking, are we listening? May each of us listen and have the courage to follow. Amen.